Hello, the internet, and welcome to episode one of the Daily Zeitgeist for Monday, October 9th, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, get the cuck out of here.
Yeah.
My nickname for right now.
And we are thrilled in our constantly rotating third seat to be joined by Edgar Montplaisir.
Oingo boingo.
Oingo boingo.
His famous catchphrase. Oingo boingo. Edgar, there's a lot of news to get to, but we want our audience to get to know you. So up top, we're going to ask you a couple getting to know you questions. Oh, icebreakers, cool. If you will. What was the last thing that you Googled?
The last thing I Googled was, I ain't no fucking baby, I'm a man, 22-year-old.
I have Googled that myself.
Yeah.
That is, that's one of Kid Mero's catchphrases, right?
Yeah, I didn't understand it. Well, someone was playing the video, Miles was playing the video, and I was like, what is this? So I Googled it myself.
Right.
And it's a baby talking like an adult.
You know, fucking baby, he man, 22 years old.
But we're still not clear if he has, like, Gary Coleman disease or if he is an actual baby.
I think it's a baby.
You think it's a baby whose parents just paid him to be, like, cool? Or he's just that?
Yeah, I guess because cool. Babies are the only people that get mad when you call them a baby.
That's true.
I'm not a baby.
You're a baby.
There's another video of that. It's like, African Idol. Like, it's, like, American Idol, but in Africa. And it's, like, a very small guy who looks like a baby, and he, like, sings, and he's a very bad singer, and he gets booted off, and he throws a temper tantrum. It's probably one of the funniest videos on the internet.
All right.
Wait, but was he a baby?
He's a man. He's like 40.
And
but he looks
baby.
Like a baby.
All right. Well, and then one thing you think is overrated, one thing you think is underrated.
Overrated, being vegan. Underrated.
Whoa, wait, what do you mean overrated?
It's definitely overrated, man. Like, let's stop it. All right. Oh, cool. You poop better, but everything else you do is trash. Like, the food is trash. We can never find somewhere to eat, Alejandro. So, like, I'm just saying, like, being a vegan is just, it's just whack. It's completely whack.
Being a vegetarian's enough, I think.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna, like,
yeah, you
that's a
point.
Strong enough. Yeah,
or
exactly.
Don't eat red meat. Like,
we
eat,
get it.
Eat chicken and everything
pescatarian,
else.
Pescatarian. Yeah. Chicken-tarian.
Whatever that is. And then underrated, I gotta go with James Blunt, who sang...
Edgar has the saddest, whitest taste in music. Just the musical taste of like a really sad, like 23-year-old white dude. Who's just like,
or a 16-year-old white girl.
Right. All right. So stories going on right now. We've got Pence leaving a Indianapolis Colts game because the 49ers knelt, because that was actually apparently a staged thing. He knew he was going to leave. He knew that the players were going to kneel, and the president asked him ahead of time to leave. So, and also, as I think you were pointing out, Edgar, like, the Secret Service is not great with, like, improvised movements.
No, you can't just be like, yo, I'm going to dip real quick.
Like, yeah, they're like, whoa, you're, like, number two in command. We got, like, all kinds of ships and trucks that need to be moved.
And reporters were told, like, hey, you guys shouldn't leave. Like, somebody's going to be leaving the game early, winky wink.
Right. And allegedly, Colin Kaepernick has said that he's going to stand for the anthem if he gets picked up by a team, but we don't really have any detail on why he's saying that or if he's saying that.
Well, it actually hasn't that already been, like, debunked?
Yeah,
like,
the CBS Sports afterwards said, like, that actually wasn't discussed. So I think that reporter who was talking to Jim Brown actually kind of took liberties in saying, like, maybe that was him trying to just totally create his own narrative.
So anyways, this is what the right-wing media, this is what Fox News and Drudge is going to be talking about for the next week. I just don't think there's much of a story there other than that they've successfully redefined the argument to be about whether people respect the flag or not, and not about whether police are killing innocent black people.
Yeah. I also don't think that Mike Pence was at that game.
I know. That's such a great conspiracy theory that Edgar has.
Because of the photo. Like, he used the same photo in his tweets. He used a three-year-old photo.
Right. They used a photograph of him saluting the flag. I think it's just lazy photo journalism where they were like, let's find a photo of Mike Pence at a Colts game and... Yeah.
And just put a different Instagram filter on it.
Right.
The exposures are different.
They are different exposures.
But... Even though that selfie with him and mother, or his wife.
Right. He calls her mother. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, they look slightly different, but it's the exact same image, just with a little bit of a filter on it.
Yeah.
But again, I just, the Richard Spencer took another little white polo shirt, khaki march to Charlottesville. Again, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about my faked protest about going to the NFL game. Like, we're just starting to see what the priorities are. Again, you know, that's what's more outrageous, that he knew he was going to leave the Niners game than the return of the white trashnalists to Charlottesville.
So, yeah, there was apparently a, like, Charlottesville part two that was more of a flash mob. They, like, did it in the cover of Night. Nobody was really aware that it was going to happen. And then they talked a lot of shit after they were all gone.
It was a big deal. Like, Richard Spencer brought out his suit. Like, he was in a nice suit for it.
That dude always gets stressed
up. It was
up.
A tan suit.
It was a khaki suit, I think. That was the color. You know,
that's better than tan.
I think he wanted to keep the theme.
Yeah.
Khaki.
It's like a khaki-colored suit.
Khaki power.
But they were even saying, you know, apparently, I don't know, I wasn't there, but some reports saying that they were actually, along with their other, like, you will not replace us type shit, they were also saying, Russia is our friend.
Yeah.
Like, what's the...
They're just going real far in that direction.
What are you even doing there now? Like, what are you about at this point?
And then just the only other story that we're not going to talk about is Blade Runner apparently tanked at the box office. People are acting surprised because it was advertised like it was going to be a blockbuster. I am not surprised because the first Blade Runner was also a critically acclaimed masterpiece by a visionary director who had recently made a successful acclaimed movie about humans contacting aliens, Ridley Scott.
Shit.
And that did bad also.
Just blew my mind. That's exactly true.
Yeah, and the first Blade Runner became a classic, like, when VHS became a thing. It was a flop when it first came out.
Is Amy Adams Sigourney Weaver of our generation?
Sigourney.
I kind of like Sojourney.
Sojourney Truth.
It offers some, like...
Get away from that slave.
You bitch.
All right, so the main stories we're going to talk about today are the Cuban attack on diplomats and Harvey Weinstein, because we are not, like the late night TV shows, we are not scared of Harvey Weinstein's wrath. We're gonna talk about it and acknowledge that, he might have done a few bad things once or twice, but I mean, he seems sorry, right?
I'm not right here. I'm ending my film career before it even starts. I'm not even interested in this.
He quoted 444. I think that's enough.
See, that was the most annoying thing about it was that, not the worst thing, but the thing that annoyed me the most.
No, Jack, that was the worst part about it.
The worst thing about the Harvey Weinstein story was the way that he appropriated, like, all these things that I like hating Trump. I enjoy being frustrated at Trump. He was like, I'm going to use this downtime to, like, go take Trump down. And I was like, man, don't make that. Like, don't fucking ruin that for us. And then he, like, quoted a 444 lyric. So we're going to get to all that later on. But first up, we are going to talk about the attack on U.S. diplomats in Cuba. I am doing air quotes when I say attack. And you can't see that because I'm good at podcasting.
My girlfriend uses those air quotes when she says love.
Aw, Edgar. Edgar's
you guys just got
quietly
engaged,
weeping. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. So our first story is titled, What the Fuck is Happening in Cuba, you guys? Basically, if Tom Clancy ever experimented with bath salts, this is the story that he would have written. So we are joined by Mark Fenster, who is the Cohn Wagner Nugent Hazzouri and Roth tort professor at the Levin College of Law at the University of Florida. Did I get all that correct?
You did, and you did it better than I could.
And you are also the author of Conspiracy Theories, Secrecy and Power in American Culture. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
We wanted to talk to you about this somewhat crazy story about what's going on with U.S. diplomats in Cuba, because it's fairly confusing. I have a very specific, I guess you could call it a conspiracy theory, just like a hunch on this story. And I should put it out there just up front that I believe a lot of crazy things. I believe that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck didn't write Good Will Hunting, and
agreed,
that and that Matt Damon's entire, like, film oeuvre following that is all about the fact that he's, like, covering up for that fact, because it's, like, all about him being a fraud and stuff. So I believe lots of crazy shit, Mark. But I happen to not think that these attacks are actually taking place. But why don't we just kind of go through the details first, and then you can tell me why I'm crazy, if indeed I am.
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that, but let's give it a shot.
All right. So basically it began with 21 diplomats reporting hearing loss, loss of sleep, headaches, and cognitive difficulties. This is going back, I think, till last year. And these are U.S. diplomats in Cuba. And obviously this is in the immediate aftermath of a thawing of relations between Cuba and the United States. The attacks were said to have begun under Obama, so it's not just a thing that's happening under the Trump administration, but the Trump administration has reacted by basically saying they're going to pull, I think, most of their diplomats out of Cuba, and basically that they're going to use this as an opportunity to kind of revert the relations between Cuba and the United States back to where they were prior to Obama, sort of opening things up a little bit. The details of the attacks are kind of what's strange, because they're all somewhat different, but the few that I've heard details about, they're people like wake up in the middle of the night and they hear like a loud noise. One of the diplomats say that when they sat up in bed, it went away, but then when they laid back down, like the loud noise came back, and they looked around and couldn't find the source of the noise. I've read sort of DARPA studies where they're looking into using basically sound lasers which would be like things that can project noise directly into someone's ear, but nobody else around you can hear them. So it seems like something that could be possible, but I guess the thing that's weird to me is that the attacks all seem to be different. The people who are experts on sonic weaponry seem to indicate that this doesn't match with any known type of weapon, or basically they're saying it's physically impossible based on what we know about physics. And the fact that the symptoms, like the things that are happening to the diplomats, all seem to be fairly, I don't know, diffuse and not very consistent. And I read somebody who like is an expert on sort of psychosomatic illnesses listing a very similar list of symptoms and being like, yeah, those are all symptoms of just getting older, like just like being one day older than you were the day before. So I don't know. What's everybody else think?
You want to hear my honest thoughts?
Yes.
I think that they all went to a whack-ass concert together and are suffering from, like, you know, like hearing loss, but they don't want to say that they went to this whack-ass concert. So they're all coming up and blaming Cuba.
Yeah.
There's crazy diplomats. They have a swinging nightlife in Havana.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a Justin Bieber concert
type
thing.
It was Nickelback.
Nickelback, yeah.
Wow, you have specifics and everything.
So what's the theory? So this was just an accident as a consequence of the concert?
Yeah, for me, that's my theory. My theory is that they went to this whack-ass concert and now they're having this problem, but they don't want anyone to know that they're at the Nickelback concert, so they'd rather blame Cuba and say that Cuba's attacking them.
Jack, your theory is that there were no weapons involved, and this is just mass hysteria, mass hallucination.
Well, or maybe something happened in one specific instance where it was like somebody was poisoned, or I don't know. So something happened, they were attacked in some way, and then that was like sort of the seed crystal that started everybody else, like the whole group dynamic from kicking off. But I just don't think that the Cubans or anybody being like sheltered by the Cubans have these secret weapons that physics doesn't know about and doesn't know are possible, that are secretly sort of tapping into diplomats' brains.
So kind of like the Salem witch trials, like where like one person started acting out and then all the girls started acting wild.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a study, like a historical study of cases of mass hysteria, and they find that even though you tend to hear about them happening to like school children, that's just because it's a lot of like-minded people in a closed environment under a lot of stress. And that's basically the only thing that most cases of mass hysteria have in common. It's not like intelligence or age or any of those things.
Well, I have to say that you guys have come up with the most boring explanations for this.
Oh, damn.
The shitty employee and the, you know, psychosomatic crazy employees is just really boring. I came up with any number of much more interesting theories.
All right, let's hear this.
Which isn't to say that I believe in them, but one would be the U.S. did it. That has been floated by, I've noticed, a Cuban columnist who argued this, saying that this was, you know, the false flag that would allow for a coming invasion by the United States and by the Trump administration. Raul Castro's daughter said something equivalent by arguing that this was all just a lie. So either the U.S. did it using any of the potential means, whether through sonic weaponry or poisons or some combination thereof, or that it's all just bullshit, but it is in either instance, it will be the excuse that the imperialist Trump will use to take back the island. And then the other theory is more the bank shot theory I suppose you could say that the Cubans did it, right? But it seems less and less likely that that's the case. First of all, the extent to which the Russians are supporting the Cuban government has obviously dropped down considerably in the last 25 years. So Cuban access to high-tech weaponry seems pretty small. So unless they're utilizing Cold War stuff that they have left over, which no one could detect because it's so incredibly old, it's like they're, you know, crazy looking cars.
Right. Isn't Cuba notoriously behind the times in technology?
Behind the times and therefore ahead of the times, right?
Right.
Because everyone wants to go to Cuba because their cars all look like old Matchbox cars, and they're really only the Cubans can fix them. So maybe there's some incredibly old 1960s era weaponry.
Yeah, I learned about that in the documentary "The Fate of the Furious."
Excellent. We call it Fast 8.
Fast 8. Yeah.
Fast 8. So the Cubans could do it, but the Cubans say that they didn't do it, and they've allowed the FBI to come down to take a look, which is pretty unprecedented for the Cubans to invite the FBI down to investigate. And, you know, you would think at this point, if the U.S. had serious evidence suggesting that Cuba had done it, that there would be no reason for the Trump administration to hide that. So it could be a rogue element of the Cuban intelligence services who would prefer to be at war with the Americans who would do that. But then you still fold back into the question of where they're getting the technology to do this. But then suppose it's someone else. Suppose it's Iran. Suppose it's Russia who just want to fuck with us in some way and fuck with the Cubans. These are all interesting theories. And, you know, I don't think that there's any evidence of any of this. What's been disappointing to me is the extent to which Alex Jones has not been on top of this. I go to InfoWars and I look up Cuba and there's fuck all nothing on there.
Wow.
And that's disappointing. Alex Jones.
That's how big this thing is. That's how big it is. Alex Jones doesn't even know.
Well, there's an easy theory behind that, which is that Alex Jones is in cahoots with Trump. So that would explain it. So here's a false flag that Alex Jones isn't letting on about because he's rooting on Trump's taking back Cuba.
I got a question for you, Professor.
I'll see if I have an answer.
All right. Cool. So I like that second theory that, like, they're using this old technology that, like, you know, like, we're not on. So then could it possibly be that it's a trap to invite the FBI over? Because I might not be an expert on conspiracy theories, but I'm an expert on movies. And that seems like a very, very easy trick to be like, oh, yeah, just come check it out. And then they trap our best FBI agents.
They do a Manchurian candidate on them?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then they send those dudes back. And then
fucked. I like that. That's good. All right. So are they clone them with some, you know, newfangled Cuban technology that they've come up with?
Yeah, one that we couldn't detect. Yeah. Did the FBI go?
Did they even go?
I think they went down. I think they went three times. I think they've been in, they were, you know, allowed in three times to do a series of investigations. You know, obviously this is all top secret, so we don't know what they came up with. But all that we know is that they didn't come up with an answer that has been made public.
Or that's what they want us to think.
Right.
Or that's what they want us to think.
All right. But we don't have any ideas on how this could be possible or why. It just seems like they don't really have any sort of coherent explanation for what's happening here, which there's clearly like a political motivation for doing that, because like getting closer to Cuba was an Obama thing, and therefore it is the opposite of a Trump thing. And they're using it as an excuse to, you know, get further away from Cuba. So I don't know. It just seems like if they could possibly put together a coherent story, the fact that there's just nothing makes me think that, I don't know, there's lots of crazy stories of, you know, mass hysteria that when you look at the stories at this stage, at least, like when you're in the thick of all the physical symptoms and illnesses, look absolutely like a physical thing is going on, and then there's just nothing.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely the probably the neatest explanation is the psychosomatic one, that one person got sick and then everyone else followed. But this is a lot of people at this point, at different times under different conditions. I mean, it's certainly possible. And I mean, it sounds as though the reports have the medical examination of these folks after they get stateside is pretty convincing that some of the problems are permanent damage. But, you know, you're right. If it's in the range of symptoms that someone would have as a matter of just growing old, right, then, you know, that's certainly possible. That is boring, but it is possible.
Yeah, I read one of the injuries, like when people are pointing to there being like specific concrete symptoms, they were like, it is mild traumatic brain injury, which I've never heard of. Like, I've specifically heard people who specialize in brain traumatic brain injury saying there's no such thing as, like, a mild concussion.
Could you possibly get one from banging your head too loud at perhaps a very bad Canadian rock concert?
I mean, I think that's where I think Edgar's won us all over.
I just want to say there is an article from the BBC. The German doctors did say headbanging can cause brain injury. So, we're getting something here.
Interesting now, Doc.
Hey, I'm not ruling anything out at this point.
I'd like to
know if Nickelback was playing, or the Cuban equivalent of Nickelback was playing at that time. I know, didn't the Rolling Stones went down there and did a concert sometime last summer, something like that, fairly recently. But, you know, I think the Nickelback theory is a better theory.
There's one other conspiracy theory I just kind of wanted to bring up, because I know it's become a pretty contentious issue amongst young people. And that is that Katy Perry is, in fact, JonBenet Ramsey. And I was curious if you felt, if that's something you had heard about as you've, you know, written on conspiracy theories. I see the evidence there. It's very clear that Katy Perry looks a lot like JonBenet Ramsey at the time, but who's to know if Katy Perry is actually Katy Perry?
It's an excellent question.
Told you guys. I told you. This stuff is bigger than everything.
I don't know that one.
Are you a Beyonce truther? Do you believe Beyonce actually gave birth to Blue Ivy? Or where do you fall on that?
I fall off on that.
Okay.
I have one. There's one that 3-6 Mafia won the Oscar for Best Song as an elaborate prank.
On who?
On black people.
That's not very nice.
Well, that's
perpetrated by Harvey Weinstein?
Who knows?
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I'm sure we've made you slightly stupider by just in talking to us.
No, I feel much more informed.
Great. I'm sure you do. All right. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you
soon. It was my pleasure.
All right. So, I mean, I think Edgar's theory wins, hands down.
Nickelback. Yeah.
Thank you, man. I mean, we don't talk about how detrimental their music is on a whole.
So, and like, to U.S.-Cuban relations in particular. You've always said that.
What's crazy is that Nickelback is actually one of my guilty pleasure bands.
Me too.
I could off-top, I can do a few songs for
Me
you.
Me too.
Full lyrics, full mode.
What is that thing that he, like his singing voice, what's that called? It's like,
oh,
it's like Yarling, I think I've heard it described as Yarling. Yeah. Yeah, that's terrible, man. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves.
He also kind of smack talked us a little bit.
Yeah, he did talk some shit. And now that he's no longer on the phone, let's complain about that.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that guy's deal?
Let's take Mark down a couple pegs.
No, he has that very specific conspiracy theory thing where, like, you can already tell what a conspiracy theorist is going to want to believe. They're going to want to believe it was a false flag, that it was like the U.S. government doing like a false flag thing. I just want to say, I think Mark's theories are boring, okay? His theories are boring, not mine.
Not yours, is that like, there's nothing to see here, folks. It's kind of just blown out of proportion.
Right, right.
I mean, I just, you know, the thing I got out of it was, I think we are one step closer to actually figuring out that Katy Perry is JonBenet Ramsey.
Because
he didn't, he danced around that one.
Yeah, he got off the phone real quick after that.
Yeah.
You could tell somebody from, I don't know, whatever record label was like, don't you say anything or know about that.
Almost definitely.
Although I wish I did bring up the Illuminati thing.
With Beyonce?
Yeah, I think that'll be another deep dive we can do with him later. Because that's a, you know.
My Beyonce theory is that she gave birth to Solange.
She gave birth to Solange.
Look it up, bro. Look it up.
What do you mean, look it up?
What the fuck does that mean? all right, we're going to keep following the Cuba story as I am slowly proven right over the coming months. But we want to move on to another big story going on right now. Some would call it a conspiracy. The Harvey Weinstein story, which the liberal media doesn't want us to talk about, but that's how it's being covered on the right wing. We do at the Daily Zeitgeist Monitor, like the Drudge Report and Breitbart, to see what they're saying about the world. And what they're saying right now, like one of their main threads is that, you know, late night comedians and SNL don't have the balls to make fun of Harvey Weinstein for being a rapist. Which I would argue it's just like not a very funny thing to joke about, but our Harvey Weinstein expert, and also just our Harvey Weinstein, like as a team, she fills that role for us. She is producer extraordinaire Anna Hosnier, and she's going to tell us what she's been hearing about the Harvey Weinstein story when we come back after these messages. And we're back. Anna Hosnier, welcome to the Daily Zeitgeist.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
You've been in here the whole time, haven't you?
I never leave.
She's a liar, you guys. She acts like she just showed up. That's a little bit show business. So, you know, I heard that there were, you know, all these different allegations against him. Most of them are, I think, like blind items. The one star that we heard about was Ashley Judd, but now I'm hearing that like Gretchen Mol and Blake Lively are probably other people to whom this has happened. Is
yes.
that right?
So according to my deep dive research into this, once I've become obsessed with the Harvey girls, which is what they call the women that Harvey Weinstein basically eyes and tries to build a career for if they basically, you know, hang out with him, if you will.
In his hotel room.
Sure. In his robe. But
So the Ashley Judd story is that she was called to a meeting in his hotel room.
He has notorious casting couch sessions that happen on Friday evenings when his office is empty, that he meets the women in his robe.
Weird.
That's a thing that
that's not just because he lives at the office.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just, hey, I just want to see it from every
but
angle.
But it's known. That's apparently it's been a known Hollywood secret for a very long time. And now that it's coming out, people are coming out and talking about it, but a lot of these women are staying quiet because their careers are on the line, and that's, you know. And I've heard that something I read is that basically his behavior would make Bill Cosby look chill, basically. Like, he's
Black people need that right now.
Place.
Black people need that. Listen, Blake Lively, get on the phone right now. Black people need this.
So, I mean, the Ashley Judd story is that he had her come to his hotel room and then was like, hey, why don't you give me a massage? While he was like, basically,
yes,
a robe and nothing else. And she was like, nah. And then he was like, well, will you at least watch me shower?
Yeah.
Which
she
is,
was like,
you can tell he's like, you can tell a certain level of depravity when, like, that's the thing you jump to second.
Yeah, to be like, okay, that was too much, that was too much. Okay, okay, how about you watch me shower?
That's not a downgrade.
That's not a downgrade at all, man.
It could have been like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, that was
gross dinner.
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess we should say up top for people who don't know who Harvey Weinstein is. I mean, he's the founder of Miramax and the head of Miramax with his brother, Bob Weinstein, up until, I think, like 10 years ago or something. He left Miramax and started Weinstein Pictures. But he's been thanked more than God in Oscar acceptance speeches. James Doody Bench, the actress.
I think it's Dame Judi Dench.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Did you say habit. James Booty Bench?
James Doody Bench. Doody Bench. either way, that's my nickname for her. But supposedly she had his name tattooed on her ass, JD Loves HW, though some people are saying that it was a fake tattoo that she just got to impress him. The fact that Dame Judi Dench is how you pronounce that?
Yeah, that's a weird name.
The fact that she would even feel the need to lie about having a fake tattoo and then show her ass to him kind of suggests how much power he has in this town. But
he's kind of like the godfather of indie film, right? Like he's pushed so many like indie filmmakers' career, like Quentin Tarantino.
He created Billy Bob Thornton's career.
Right.
Sling Blade.
Yeah.
The man has done a lot of work, but he's also a huge creep.
Right. And apparently, like, this whole sort of pay-to-play or, like, have-sex-with-me-to-play sort of scandal has been fueling the film industry. And there are, you know, different actresses who supposedly, like, their entire career is based on this. Ashley Judd was just somebody who said no when he kind of made this offer. She was already kind of blowing up, but her career then sort of didn't go anywhere. So it like suggests that it's just all the worst things that you've ever heard about Hollywood are true. And
oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially with Harvey, I think what he likes to do is pull these girls in, create the hype, and then leave them, which is weird. It's like they get bigger, like it happened to Mina Suvari, Monica Potter, like these women that you don't hear from anymore. Like some of them would hit, you know, like Uma Thurman was one of them, apparently. Blake Lively's career happened. Gretchen Mol's career was decent.
Right. But Gretchen Mol is a famous case where, you know, she's, what was she in? Like Chasing Amy or?
She was in,
she was in some Miramax movie early on and like hadn't been in that much. And then Vanity Fair had her on and was like, she is the next Hollywood it girl.
Right.
And like, she's famous for getting that Vanity Fair cover and people being like, wait, what? Like, why is she getting the Vanity Fair cover? And so this kind of connects those dots for some people.
Well, yeah. Weinstein is notorious for using his money and power to push these women into the spotlight and getting them films, getting them spots, just getting them out there. And the creepier part is, that his wife dresses them. She is a clothing designer, Georgina Chapman. And so a lot of them are seen in her designs, which is this very dark angle on all of it, which is, I don't understand.
I mean, I don't think it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, and now you will wear, like let my wife dress you. I think more of like, kind of like maybe like sort of guiding people to be like, and you should probably wear my wife's clothes since I'm, you know,
right,
whatever.
But that's
that is.
What I don't understand is what is the wife's role in this? Like, is she really that oblivious or is she just working the system for herself as well to get these actresses in her dresses?
Yeah, Gawker said that you could tell which of these women Harvey Weinstein was like sexually assaulting slash like, you know, making their career blow up because one, they all kind of looked alike. They were like kind of blonde, pretty-ish, and like you didn't really understand why they were famous because they weren't super talented, and also they would always be dressed by his wife like at award shows. And like Gawker was writing about that, like I wasn't aware of this, but like Gawker was writing about this like 5 years ago. Apparently it's been like an open rumor. It's
like the 20 years probably.
Right. For his entire career. And Hollywood's just been like, that's just Harvey being Harvey.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's
the Miramax.
Everyone knows.
Oh, sorry. The Miramax film was Rounders.
Right. She played the girlfriend in Rounders, which not a great role. Like definitely did not deserve to like have to have sex with that dude to get that role. That role sucked. She was just like aw, Matt Damon, stop playing cards. Like she was just like a wet blanket. It was like not a great role for
her. Rosie Perez and White Man Can't Jump.
Right, exactly.
Oh, Billy? That's a great role.
Billy. foods that start with the letter Q. So I guess the one question that I have, that was a killer Rosie Perez impression, right? Foods that start with the letter Q. I guess this raises for me why do people who are the best at the thing they do, why does this keep happening where they come out? Like, I'm thinking of Cosby here. I'm thinking of allegedly Louis C.K. A lot of female comics seem to have had the same experience. Why is it that these people who are like really great at something? Oh, the president, by the way, is like apparently a serial sexual assaulter. There are different ways you could look at it. Is it that, you know, being a sociopath makes you good at manipulating people and bad at knowing how to respect people and showing empathy? So you therefore see this correlation between people who are, you know, who are successful and who end up, you know, being serial sexual offenders.
My theory is that these are just the people that we're seeing propel doing it, but I think this is a problem all across the board in that, sadly, sexual offense is, like, those kind of, at least, like, transactions are something that we don't think. Like, at least the people in those situations don't think the consequences outweigh the chance that they're taking or the relief that they're getting from, like, doing that terrible thing. Like, I kind of equate it to, like, why so many Hollywood men cheat. I think a lot of men cheat, and they think that, like, oh, these consequences aren't going to be as bad as how good this feels right now. So I think, like, the reason why so many successful people are doing it is because they're the ones propelled up. But I think men all across the board are doing this. Like, I think, like, there's probably, like, a gas station worker who's just like, hey, you want a better shift?
Right.
Come into the back room. But, like, Gawker's not going to write an article about that gas station owner. So I don't think that it's, like, a sociopathic thing connected to, like, Hollywood. I think it's just a power thing overall.
Yes, I agree with that. I was going to say, I always felt it was a power thing. And for the people who get that far, like Harvey Weinstein, where no one says no to Harvey. Harvey, he's a power maker. He goes, he gets these films to win Oscars. He does everything he can. He pushes. So I feel like when you get to that level and people rarely are trying to basically control you in any way, you start to do what you want. And there's no one there to say anything because people are afraid of you. And then it almost feels like it's never ending, where once Harvey's goes, there's another one that comes, and it's like a cycle.
But, like, so Bill Cosby committed his first sexual assault in 1969. He was a successful stand-up and, like, on a couple TV shows, but he was not the most successful stand-up and TV star ever. It was 13 years before he released himself, the stand-up album, and, like, 15 years before the Cosby Show debuted. So of all the successful stand-ups, the guy who was secretly drugging and raping women for 13 years became the most famous stand-up basically in the history of the art form and, like, America's dad. And then, sure, like, Harvey Weinstein's first act of sexual abuse was 1990. Up to that point, he was the head of, like, an indie studio. They had The Thin Blue Line, a documentary on sex, lies, and videotapes. But, like, why did the guy who was sexually assaulting and harassing women go on to define the 90s? Like, it, you know,
because he's the only one that we found out about. Like, I'm willing to bet that, like, Bill Cosby isn't the only comedian from, like, I'm willing to bet that there's more, right? Like, I mean, we're hearing about more, like, Louis C.K. and, like, others are being outed right now. Like, the Screen Junkies dude from this weekend.
Yeah.
He's not a fucking powerful dude. Like, he's barely even on that network, but he still does shit like that.
He's a man from CineFamily.
Yeah. Right. Like, again, these aren't powerful dudes. Like, I think it's just, well, they're powerful within a context,
within their,
right,
ecosystem.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's what we're seeing, which is, like, yeah, Harvey Weinstein is powerful overall, but, like, I still think that this happens. I mean, we hear about it with teachers. We hear about it with professors. Like, you know, like, happens in improv all the time. Like, I think it's just a power dynamic. I don't think it's necessarily correlated to success, like the most successful person.
Huh.
Well, yeah, or I guess, like Anna was saying, like, you maybe get emboldened a bit when you get to a certain level where now you feel like you're just untouchable. And so you kind of let all your, it doesn't, you'll actually go and indulge every single urge you have, because it's like, well, like you're saying, people are thanking me in their Oscar acceptance speeches more than God or whatever. Like, I'm a kingmaker. Like, mm-hmm. what? Like, this is my world. Like, this is, like, I'm the king of this reality or whatever.
Right. And I guess you could say that even though he did it in 1990, like the fact that he kept doing it and like made a habit of it was because he got that powerful. I mean, that's the thing that makes the most sense to me is just that power corrupts.
100%.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a laugh riot. Are there any lighter stories we want to go out on, guys?
I got a gripe with Twitter.
Okay, let's hear that.
They let my brother have 280 characters. Like, they're picking people and, like, letting them test out 280 characters. And they gave it to him. My brother ain't shit. He's, like, a physical therapist student in Texas.
Really?
And I'm out here killing the Twitter game with my jokes.
Killing.
People are constantly saying, man, you're so funny. I like your stuff. But Twitter can't respect me enough to give me 280 characters.
That's pretty fucked up.
Wait, so they're just giving it to anyone? Is it just random?
Yeah, I don't know how it works, but some people have been messaged and been like, hey, you can now tweet at 280 characters.
I got to look at your brother's Twitter feed to see like what kind of
bullshit,
science
man.
He is laying down about physical therapy yeah. that they were like, this dude needs 280
on the cutting
characters.
Edge. Wait, this is your younger brother?
This is my younger brother.
Yeah, oh, man, your younger
oh,
brother
so this stings.
At that?
Yeah.
Ouch.
I mean, what would you do with 280, though?
Bro, I would just talk more about depression and Nickelback.
Yeah, see, that's why they're like, yeah, we got enough of
James
that.
Blake.
I thought it was James Blunt.
Oh, I like both.
Oh.
You like James B's?
I do like James B's.
James Blake is not underrated. He's
No, he's perfectly rated.
I think he's underrated.
Did you guys watch Saturday Night Live on Saturday night? That's when it was. Saturday Night Live was on Saturday night.
Did you just learn that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what
apparently.
SNL stands for?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot. Yeah.
Gal
wow.
Gadot. She's a tall, statuesque Natalie Portman was the host, and she
Fame
made
Zionist.
Out with yes. Kate McKinnon.
I like to call her the sexiest Zionist.
All right.
She made out with Kate McKinnon?
Yeah. In a sketch where it's a pretty funny sketch. They assume that the like women of Wonder Woman's home island are all lesbians and try and convert them. You know how gays do. Try and convert people to lesbianism.
That's what my dad wouldn't he got mad when my cousin would go to a Sparks game.
Is that true?
Yeah. He's on some ignorant shit, but
I mean,
he's back though.
Gay people have knocked on my door constantly trying to push literature on me.
Mm-hmm. what is their literature?
It's like Steps to Christ, but it's like Steps to West Hollywood.
Right.
Steps
to The Portrait of Dorian Gray.
I think stating once and for all that we believe that being gay is a choice and that they're trying to convert straight people is probably a good point to go out on.
Yeah.
Right?
If you believe that, then you found
Episode
your show,
one.
Folks.
thank you, Anna Hosnia, as
thank
always,
you.
For being our producer, our Harvey Weinstein.
And don't sue me.
And thank you, Edgar Monplaisir.
Boingo, boingo.
Yeah. Where can people find you, Edgar?
Man, find me on my Twitter, at Edgar Monplaisir. Find me on Instagram at Awfulgram. You can find me performing at the UCB at various random times. Just check out my page there. Google Edgar Monplaisir UCB.
How are you spelling your last name these days?
Oh, man. You know, I'm spelling it the right way, which is Momplaisir. And then, you can see all my shows. And then Arcade Currency performs third Saturday of every month.
And they are fucking hilarious.
Yeah, very funny, very funny.
All right, and that's been episode one of The Daily Zeitgeist. Miles, take him out on your famous catchphrase.
Oh.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.